In my decades of work as a psychotherapist specializing in the search for love, I've discovered that there are five essential keys that heal your life and lead you so much more quickly to love. This is the entire deeper dating path in a nutshell. So stay tuned to this episode and learn these keys because they will change your life.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, your host here and the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive. And today, I want to share with you what I think are the five greatest keys for finding and nourishing healthy love in your life. First, I just want to say, though, that in this episode and every episode, my commitment is to share with you the greatest tools, resources, and insights that I know to help you find beautiful, healthy love and keep it flourishing in your life and to heal your life in the process. Because as you learn these skills, your attachment style heals, your wounds begin to heal, you grow self-love and inner strength. And that's kind of the magic of the deeper approach to finding love. So without any more ado, let me jump in. But first, I guess, let me just say that if you want to learn more about this work, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and you'll find transcripts of every episode. And if you join my mailing list, you'll find out about lots of free resources. You'll get free resources and you'll be able to get updated on all of my work. Okay, so let's jump in. Finding real love can feel like a miracle, but these five keys that I'm going to offer you provide a practical way to invite that miracle into your life. And as you focus on these areas, like I said, you won't only speed your path to love, you'll discover a new level of self-love and inner strength. These are not shortcuts. They're not gimmicks. They're not empty promises. They're grounded in my decades of work as a psychotherapist, and they have the power to change your future in love. So let's jump in. Key number one, which is like the most profound shift of this work, which is unlocking the power of your core gifts. As a therapist, I think the greatest insight in all of my work has been the fact that our deepest gifts are the parts of ourselves that we are most likely to feel ashamed of and hide or feel vulnerable around, but they are our greatest assets in finding love and connecting to our real mission in life. And I call these core gifts. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. And your core gifts are those parts of you that feel particularly powerful, particularly sensitive, particularly like close to the heart of your being. They're the places where life can get under your skin the most, can trigger you the most, and can inspire you the most. They're the places where the nerve endings of your soul and your heart flourish the most. So we can experience the greatest joy there, but also the greatest pain. And because these parts of ourselves are, they're kind of our unique genius, because of that, they make us different. Because of that, they ask more of ourselves and more of the people around us. And because of that, we often have these parts stepped on, neglected, humiliated, shamed, or taken advantage of. So these parts of us often feel like weaknesses or even flaws, but the truth is they're a wellspring of our greatest gifts. And this is the magic formula, which in decades of work, this is just, to me, one of the most mysterious and magnificent things that I know. The degree to which you champion these core gifts is the degree to which you're going to be sexually and romantically attracted to people who are good for you. The degree to which you are ambivalent about them, hide them, are ashamed of them, don't honor and champion them, to that degree, you're going to get stuck in patterns of attracting and being attracted to people who can't honor you for who you are. And that is the heart of this journey, learning to name these core gifts and then lead with them. In my 6-month intensives, we spend 3 months helping people capture and identify their core gifts. And when you learn to lead with them, you invite people who value you for who you truly are. So the heart of this journey lies first in identifying these parts of you, learning to honor them, learning to treasure them, learning to see them as gifts instead of flaws. And then, which is going to be our second step, learning to identify those people with whom these qualities in you feel safe, seen, and treasured instead of diminished. So, like I said, in the intensive, we spend 3 months on this. But how can you kind of quickly be able to identify your core gifts? Here's how. Notice in your day-to-day life the things that fill your heart and hurt your heart. When things fill your heart, start thinking, how could this be a core gift of mine? What would the core gift be that is touched and nurtured and excited and enlivened by whatever it is that just happened? What might that core gift be? And when things hurt you, instead of telling yourself just to be tougher, instead think, what core gift might have just been trampled, unseen, neglected? How could that part of me actually be a core gift? This is a journey where we often need some help and guidance because it's very counterintuitive, but often the people who love us the most can help us understand what our core gifts are. And of course, in the deeper dating work, there's so many resources to learn what your core gifts are. There's the book, there's my online course. And for those of you that feel ready for a very deep dive, there's my deeper dating intensive. And you can find out more about that by going to deeperdatingintensive.com. Okay, key number two. Learn to differentiate between your attractions of deprivation and your attractions of inspiration. This is one of the most liberating shifts that you can make, and it's recognizing the difference between people who inspire you by who they are and how they are with you, and people who deplete you, who, no matter how sexy and gorgeous and almost available they are, their character, their way that they treat you doesn't sustain and fill and nurture you. And here's the deal about that that's so amazing, is that all of us have this circuitry of attractions of deprivation where we want to choose the people who we know intuitively cannot fully love us for who we are. And that triggers our sense of unworthiness. And then that triggers this fierce goal of wanting to get them to finally appreciate us. And that feels like the path to love in the moment, but it's really the path to pain. And it can be endless, and it's got an addictive quality to it. But it feels like love, and it feels like desire. So it's very, very confusing. Those are attractions of deprivation, and they can feel white hot And they are, like I said, like the source of incredible pain. And so many of us have gotten lost in those relationships for so long. I think of like the holding on to those, like a little kid who has a beautiful piece of glass in their hands, but it's sharp and it's cutting their hands, but they are not going to let go of it for anything. And I think that that's what we're like, because something so deep inside feels like we will lose love if we don't get them to love us right. Then there is another circuitry, which needs to be, for most of us, cultivated. Some people know this from early on and end up with like great relationships with their high school sweetheart. The rest of us have to learn the hard way. We also have another circuitry, which is, it's the circuitry of attractions of inspiration. And that's the circuitry where you are attracted to goodness, stability, availability, pure love, someone who's willing to do the work, someone who is ready to commit. Now, if that's not what you're used to, it won't seem as sexy at first, or it will, but then all of a sudden your interest will plummet for a lot of different reasons why that we don't have time to go into here, but I do go into in, you know, all of my other kind of more extensive material. But with attractions of inspiration, we need to learn to develop that taste. And when we do, when you do, and here's an action step for you. When you make a commitment that says, I ain't going to do attractions of deprivation no more. I'm not going to do that. If I feel drawn into it, I'm going to get help from friends, from a coach, from family members. I'm not going to go into that quicksand again. And conversely, I am going to consciously and actively seek out attractions of inspiration. I'm going to do that courageously and bravely. I know what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm looking for. In my intensive, everyone creates a whole pledge about that, and we have a ritual where people share their pledge. But when you plant a flag that says, no, I'm not doing attractions of deprivation, and I'm looking for attractions of inspiration, something happens, and this is actually documented in real research. You start noticing attractions of inspiration more and being more attracted to them. This is something that in my work I have seen so many times and in my life that I know that it's really true. And it's kind of a miracle. It's like what they call a hard work miracle, but it really happens. And when it happens, we have a shot at a future really filled with happiness and love. Okay, so the third step is do not do this alone. Do not do this alone. I encourage everybody, everything I do, the intensive, the book, the course, I have people get a learning partner to do it with them, or a coach or a therapist, but a learning partner, someone to work with you. It's someone who supports you and hopefully is walking with you on your journey to love. This person's going to be a witness to your progress. At crossroads, when you're tempted to go back to old behaviors, they will note that for you. They'll encourage you to take brave steps. They'll give you perspective, and there will be accountability. And I can pretty much promise you that if you have a learning partner, you will just succeed so much more quickly. So, you know, I have been to a lot of coaches, nutritional coaches who have been really, really wonderful. And I spent a lot of time and a lot of money working with these coaches to help me lose weight, eat better. And that's been really good. But ultimately, having my husband weigh himself every day and I weigh myself every day and we talk about how we're doing and we support each other just seems like it's dramatically more effective. You know how it is. If you go to the gym, if you do anything, this learning partner thing makes such a difference. It also makes it more fun. It also makes it less painful, and it leaves you feeling so much less alone and less susceptible to the pitfalls of shame that all of us can fall into, or discouragement that all of us can fall into in any kind of challenging journey, like the journey to find love. When you work with a learning partner, you're going to see your patterns more clearly. You're going to celebrate your wins more joyfully. and you're going to support each other, and you'll learn from how you support your learning partner. So do this. Do not do it alone, because if you do it alone, unconsciously, you will replay patterns again and again and again. So how do you do that? Think of someone you know who is kind, reliable, someone you trust, who really has your back and your best interests at heart, and ask them if they want to join you as a learning partner. And then find a path that you believe in. And some of those could be my deeper dating book, my course, my intensive. Or if there's another teacher whose work you really believe in and doesn't have that quality of like trying to convince you to be someone you're not, to be successful. In other words, work that has deep, deep integrity to you and seems like formed by really good understanding and insight, follow that. Whatever feels most right to you, but get a learning partner and both of you follow those steps together and check in on each other regularly and support each other in brave steps. So the next key is to get out there in this new way. And that means a few different things. That means now leading with your core gifts, leading with your authentic self and who you really are. That's number one. And number two means being brave. In my last episode, I interviewed Marie Tuin, who is just a wonderful researcher and author, and she outlined the four pillars of mindful online dating. These pillars are gorgeous. I want to share them with everybody. So listen to the previous episode because you'll get to hear about that from her. And I just love what she teaches. So what I encourage is a hybrid. Online dating, if you want to do it, you don't have to, but online dating is one thing. And in that online dating, look for people who share your values. Trust your intuition. Remember the second key, noting the differences between attractions of deprivation and inspiration, because you are only looking for the latter and you are absolutely not interested in the former. So bringing mindfulness and consciousness to online dating is really important because it can just eat you up, chew you up, and spit you out. So you really have to be firm in your grounding of like who you want to be and what you're looking for. Second is online communities with people who share your values. That's like the key. Online communities in Facebook or elsewhere where you can interact with people who share your values. And the third one, which is how I met my husband and where I have seen the most magic happen, and it's the hardest, especially in this day and age, is in-person events with people in environments where the focus and the theme touches your deepest values and beliefs. Because your magic shines there, your chemistry comes through, and it's the quickest way. It is, I believe, in general, the quickest way to have that kind of magic happen. So I encourage people to do a hybrid of all of those. And if you say, I live far away from any events like that, you're worth it and your future is worth it. Schlep out there. Get out there and go do it anyway. Bring your learning partner. Make it a trip. Make it an outing. Strong. That's a strong suggestion. Okay, the next one, the last key, is learning to listen to your inner guidance. This is about connecting with your own inner wisdom, which is a resource that we often overlook in the search for love because we're so taught to go outside in instead of inside out. But by tapping into your inner guidance, and one of the best, most fabulous ways that I know to do that is the inner mentor process, which I teach in episode 3, and I do it every day. And every day I am surprised and soothed and amazed and inspired, well, almost every day, because I miss some days, and then some days not that much happens with it. But by and large, almost every day, all the things I just described really happen. I access a wisdom that delights me, soothes me, challenges me, and excites me. So I so encourage you to do that. And basically, essentially, that is where you just picture a you that is more the you you're meant to be, more in the essence flow of you. It's like you normally stand on a certain step. That's your baseline step. You picture walking up three steps and looking at the world from that vantage point. And from that place, calling out guidance to the you of today. Now, will you be able to stay in that place? No, because your nervous system is not yet accommodated to the power, the wisdom, the bravery of that space. But you can, for moments, step up there and call out guidance. And it's like a channeling thing. And it's amazing what you'll come up with. Everyone, I want you to do this. I want you to try it. Even if you don't go to episode 3 to listen to my like more specific instructions, just try it just from what I said. Even right now, pause, try it, and see what happens. I think you'll really like what you experience. Another kind of practice, and in chapter 6 in my book, I described lots of different spiritual practices. And I'll share with you, because I, you know, am someone who was chronically single for decades. I'm in a wonderful marriage now with a wonderful man. And when I thought about what were the things that helped me the most, the two things were my support group for chronically single shrinks that I created and my daily spiritual practice. Those were the two things that made the biggest difference of all. So I really encourage you. And when I say spiritual practice, I don't mean just like some kind of stilling your mind and meditating. I mean something tailored to your search for love. Creating an affirmation or a prayer or a request and doing a contemplative process where you say it, you put your heart into it, you feel the ripples. When the ripples pass, you do it again. Sometimes you'll be thinking of your grievances and your gripes and your to-do list, but other times you will be touched. And when you are touched, when you're affected by those words, you have to pick something that really touches your heart. It can't just be a big should. It's got to be one that really speaks to your heart and asking the universe, asking your deeper self, asking your higher power for help in finding this precious love. So when you find those words that really touch you and you say them, sometimes you'll be very moved. And when you're moved like that, you just body surf with that. You stay with that feeling for as long as it goes, and then you go back and do it again. I can't tell you how powerful this is, how it kind of carves out a deeper, richer you, how it reshapes you in the most profound ways. And I'll share with you what my prayer was. It was a God prayer, but you know, you can make it into anything you want, but it was, God, bless me that I choose my life companion based on your ways of perfect soul unity. Now, this turned my head around, because to me, you look for who you're attracted to, and then you kind of hope that they're a good person. This concept of starting with soul unity as the first choice, wow, that was like, I had to wrap my mind around that one. That's from, it's slightly edited, but it's from a Hindu teacher who wrote Autobiography of a Yogi. His name is Paramahansa Yogananda. And I love that prayer. And that prayer changed my entire way of thinking. And I'm grateful to say then that I've gotten to share that with many thousands of people, this kind of reverse way of looking for love by starting with soul unity. So I encourage you to do these practices and then listen for the whispers, because there will be a backwash of wisdom whispers that come to you at surprising moments in your inner mentor practice or elsewhere just during the day. You follow those and you listen to those. And I think you can see how if you do these keys, how much they will make you into a richer, deeper person, and how much more likely they are that they will lead you to love. And this is the joy and the beauty of this deep, inner, fabulous work that I've kind of put together here in this deeper dating path, and that other people as well have taught in their own ways. But it's the inside out journey. It's the journey that starts with the very core of your being and the core of your heart. And that's the smartest way to work. So every one of these keys offers a path to a richer, more authentic love life. And sparks a magnetism in you that is going to help you find your beloved. And by leading with your core gifts, choosing attractions of inspiration, having the support of a learning partner, getting out there, leading with who you really are in the ways I described, and tuning into your inner wisdom, you are creating a foundation for a so much more beautiful future. And this is an ongoing journey of discovery. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.